Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rowlett's Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rowlett's, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program. We've got a good Sunday school program going. God's really been blessing. We've been seeing young people come to know the Lord more. We've been seeing folks who are more further along in their relationship with the Lord. They're having their walk strengthened and deepened. And I'm going to invite you to come join us at Sunday school on 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, and also worship service at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We have been experiencing great blessings from God as we come to, in order to try to bless Him, as we come in order to try to give our offerings of worship unto God. We have experienced God's blessings upon our lives as well. I want to invite you to come join us in that. You know, I believe folks want to go to church where they can feel the Lord. And I promise you this, we may not be the deepest as far as theological thought goes, or we may not be shedding any light on any great problems, systematic problems man has had throughout eternity, but every Sunday we get to experience God in our lives. And I leave my church knowing that my church family loves me, and knowing that God is doing something wonderful in their lives and God is doing something wonderful in my life. And I like to go where I know that God is still alive and that He's real, and that we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. So I want to invite you, come be with us on Sunday mornings, maybe at 10 for our Sunday school, maybe at 11 for our worship services. But another opportunity that might arise is on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We have a Bible study, and we have really been kind of taking a look at different characters of the Bible. We've been taking a look at great men and women who have gone on before us in the way of the Lord, but yet they leave an example behind for us. And you know, I don't neglect the fact that not only do we find saints in our Bible, but we find saints in our lives. And we have really shared about how the grandparents and people in our lives have really influenced our Christianity and helped us in our walk with the Lord. And so I tell you folks, a lot of great opportunities happening here at Rowlett's. And I want you to know you have an open invitation to come be with us with any of those things. And we don't expect anything out of you except to sit and to worship with us and lift your hearts up to the Lord. I want to take just a moment, if I would. I'd like to say thank you to the community, to all of you that really helped me grieve at the loss of my dear sister last week. It was quite a shock to my family. My sister was killed in a car wreck and left behind three wonderful children that we're caring for, and that God is paving a way for the care of those children. And the Holy Spirit has really helped comfort my mom and my dad at the loss of their daughter. And I tell you folks, I don't know what I would do if it weren't for a church family. And I hope you have a church family like that. I hope you're going somewhere. I hope you're involved somewhere in church. Don't just be a pew sitter. Don't just be a person that attends and doesn't really get involved, because it'll mean so much more to you when you get involved in these things and you begin to ask God, what it is, God, can I do for you and your people today? You'll begin to fill a ministry out. God will begin to show you something you're good at and something He wants you to do. And I'll tell you, I don't know where I'd be if it weren't for my church family. Yesterday, on Wednesday the 13th, two wonderful ladies from my church family celebrated a birthday, and that's Miss Susie Rucker and Miss Gretchen Spradlin, and I want to wish them a belated birthday. I'm sorry I missed it last week, but I promise to do better in the future, and I love these ladies, and they're doing a great job. And another special lady is having a birthday next week, and I want everyone, if you see her, be sure and tell her happy birthday, little Miss Allison Meredith. That's Chris and Lori's daughter. I want to wish her a happy birthday as well, coming up on next Wednesday, the 20th. So keep all those things in mind. Keep all those folks in your prayers, and I want to share with you a little bit from a great, great book of joy. You see, folks, wintertime is hard on people. Now, there's no doubt about that. We get less sunlight. We don't have any warm temperatures. The air temperature has dropped. It's hard to even run outside, check the mail, it seems like, because it's so cold out. And you know, we can all use a little more joy in our life. We can all use a little happiness from time to time. And I don't think that's unbiblical whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I think one of the greatest blessings that God has given human beings the ability to do is that to laugh and to be able to really exclaim them out loud about the good things of God. And we do that through laughter. I believe it really grieves Satan to hear the laughter of the saints. I believe it really hurts him to when God's people are happy and God's people know that true happiness comes from serving our Lord and our Master, and that we can only find the fulfillment of our lives not in what man's plans are for us, but in what God's plans are for us. And so when I think about having joy in my life, when I think about having a thankfulness in my life, because I'll tell you, there's a deep, deep connection between giving thanks for what you have and expressing joy in your life. You see, that when we understand and look around at the things that we do or are thankful for, then that'll cause joy in your life, because I'll tell you, folks, we're blessed. We're blessed as a nation. We're blessed as a community. And dear friend, you're blessed as an individual. Now, you may not realize that at all times, but there's no doubt about the fact that you are blessed as an individual. When I think about all those things, one book of the Bible comes to mind more than any other, and that is the book of Philippians. Now, Philippians was an epistle that was written by Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle had a great relationship with this church at Philippi. It was through a vision that God called Paul to preach the gospel in Macedonia, and this was during his second missionary journey. Now, as a result, the first church in Europe was established in Philippi. Now, you can read Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 12, tell you a little bit more about that, about Philippi. That city of Philippi was named for Philip II of Macedon. He was the father, now you'll know this name, the father of Alexander the Great. That's right. The father of Alexander the Great was the founder of the city of Philippi. It was named after him, Philip II. So when you go to sit down and take your history test, you'll know that one. You'll have that one exactly as an A+. Now, it was a strategic trade center located on what they called the Ignatian Way there, and it connected the eastern provinces of the Roman Empire to Rome. So Philippi, it became classified as a Roman colony. Now that's important. We need to know that, because that makes its people Roman citizens, and they had the right to purchase and to sell property. You see, these Philippians, they enjoyed special legal status with privileges in the civil courts and exemption from paying poll and land taxes and things that others that weren't Roman citizens would have to do. Their wealth and their status led, now watch this, their wealth and their status led to an attitude of pride and superiority among other citizens. Did you see that? That the position they were put in led to the downfall of their pride. The church among them there, it included a mixture of Gentile races and cultures. It would have had a small but influential group of Jews there. It would have been a blended congregation, and there would have been some great, great folks in that church. Lydia was an upper-class woman. She sold expensive dyes to the royalty. And you'll find her in Acts chapter 16. There would have been a slave girl that was formerly, remember, possessed by an evil spirit there in Acts 16. And then a middle-class jailer. We see little slices of every class in this church at Philippi. And I want to challenge you to look around at your own church home and see for yourself if there isn't just a little slice of every sort of a class. And I'll tell you something. There's a sermon in that, because God does not call just the rich. God does not call just the poor. God does not just call the middle class. But God has a place and a position and some power for everybody. God is no discerner of what class you're in. It doesn't matter what your income is at the end of the year. It doesn't matter what you report on your taxes. All that matters is this, that we understand that we're sinners and that we must be born again. That's what creates a church. A group of people who are declaring to the world they are bonded by the blood of Jesus. And then we become a bride looking forward to that day that Jesus calls us home. You see, these people, this church in Philippi, became special to Paul. I want to challenge you. I want you to let this book of Philippians speak to you about true Christianity and what it really means to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything flows from that relationship. So it ought to be your foremost pursuit. If you're a Christian, your foremost pursuit ought to be your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the evidence of a close walk with God is contentment and joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, the Holy Spirit bestowed those qualities on Paul in prison, and likewise they're available to you and I. And the Holy Spirit brings joy from within, despite, don't make no difference about life's circumstances. The Holy Spirit brings joy from within. So be encouraged. Know God is at work in your life. Our challenge is to walk with Him and to release your life, our lives, released to God's will. Paul begins with a typical greeting that you have seen in most letters in this day. Paul and Timothy's, the way the letter begins. He said, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. Bondservant is a title of honor for Paul. He spent years persecuting Christians. Acts 22, you can go back and read about Saul. Saul was an evil man. But Paul, being changed on that Damascus way, he devoted the rest of his life to serving Christ. And Paul said, he's writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus, we're still in verse 1, who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Now, bishops were overseers who watched over the spiritual well-being of the church. Deacons literally means, don't matter where you look it up, don't matter how you try to break it down, deacon means servant. When you bring that word into the English language, it means servant. And I'm afraid there are deacons out there today who don't think they're servants of the church, but they think they're the rulers of the church. That is not the case whatsoever. If you're a deacon in a church, you are a servant to that congregation. You are to lay your own wills, your own wants, your own desires down for the feet of those that they might be lifted up and edified and glorified in the Lord Jesus. Deacon means servant. And they ministered to the church in many, many practical ways. The existence of these two offices indicate the growth and the development of the Philippian church. They weren't stale. They weren't just sitting around waiting for the day that the Lord came back. But there was an organization there. There was a process put in place. And I'll tell you, folks, there was some order. There was some a purpose there. There was a desire to see the church impact that city around them. They weren't just sitting idly by and letting things come as they may, but they were out there moving and shaking and trying to do things in the world. There was some order there. Verse 2 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul understood where grace and peace came from. Grace and peace don't come from the government. They're not given to us by those that are over us on this old world. But they come from God and God alone. And when we have grace and we have peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, you've already won all the battles in your life. You know what we have to do? We have to recognize that fact and we have to speak it like we believe it. You can't walk around speaking all the time about how negative things are in your life, about how run down all of it is and how there's no hope anymore, but you speak about the great things that God has done, and that helps it become real in your life. You cannot say one thing and do another. You can't tell the world that the best vehicle you ever drove was a Chevrolet, but they don't ever see you in one. They see you in something else. They're not going to believe you. You can't tell the world what joy and what love and what peace flows through your life from the Lord Jesus if they never see any evidence of it in your life. If they never see what an impact He's made. Christians, listen. There are too many lost people in the world for us to be having pity parties for ourselves. We don't have time for that. The only thing we got time to do is tell people how good God is and how wonderful it is to serve Him and what a difference He's made in our lives. Paul then begins in verse 3 talking about thankfulness and prayer. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Isn't that something? The Apostle Paul was saying that about this group of people. He thanked God for His every remembrance of them because, you know why? Because they'd done good things for Him. Not in order to earn salvation, but in order to please God. Verse 4 says, always in every prayer of mine, making request for all of you with joy. There's that word again, joy. Verse 5, for your fellowship. Now, fellowship is an economic term. It means a partnership in a business venture where all the parties are active participants. So we know that they were somehow participating in a fellowship with Paul. And Paul says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now listen, I'm not knocking on churches that are involved in a lot of extracurricular things. That's great. I'm so glad they give money to this organization and that organization. We help out here and we help out there. But listen, friend, we'll never do no greater. We'll never have any better. We'll never take it any further unless we begin to have a fellowship in the gospel. That's what still makes the difference today. We can do a lot of other things. We can change oil for single moms. We can take clothes down to the clothes closet. We can do food for the children. We can do all those things, and those things are wonderful. Please keep those things up. But hey, don't let those things take away from being a fellowship partaker in the gospel message, because all those other things flow from the good news about Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad today that God still stands for good news? Aren't you glad today that your Savior lives? Aren't you glad today that the blood of Jesus cleansed you from all your sins and He was made a living sacrifice that you and I might know God? Aren't you glad today? Isn't that a joyous message? Paul said, I was being confident, verse 6, of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That day of Jesus Christ, that's an adaptation of the Old Testament day of the Lord. Now, that in essence equates Christ with divinity. And you know what that refers to? It refers to the day of Christ's return to judge the world. That's right. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Sinners will meet their doom. Every knee will bow. Friends, listen. For 2,000 plus years, the Lord Jesus Christ has been the Savior of this world. And until that day that those clouds split and He returns, He stands as Savior. But when He comes back, He'll be a judge. And the Bible is quick to tell us, and it doesn't pull any punches in the fact that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And you know, for so many of us, that won't be a problem at all. As a matter of fact, I'll be glad to do it. But for others whose hearts have been hardened, for others who have not declared the good things of God, for others who have not served Him and said that Jesus was their Lord and Savior, even though they may in their mind think, there's no way I'll bow my knee, you won't make me do it, I'm too strong. Friend, listen, you're nothing compared to God. And your knee will bow, even if God has to break that knee. And even if your tongue has to be pulled out of your mouth by the fingers of an angel, it will declare that Jesus is Lord. Why not do it now? Why not do it now while there's time and opportunity? Why not do it now while there's a chance that that declaration might not impact just your eternal salvation, but it might impact those around you? That your children may come to know the Lord because of what you do. That your wife will begin to understand what true love really is when it's found upon the cross. That they might begin to affect your friends and your family. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you, declaring the good things of God in your life and accepting Jesus as your Savior, what an impact it would make on those around you. Friend, we don't live through this life alone. We're not on this old path by ourselves. Your actions affect the actions of everyone around you. And your faith builds faith. Faith builds faith. Faith builds faith. And when we display faith in the common everyday occurrences of this world, it has a great impact on those around you. Now, I don't need to stop here. Let me go on just a little further. So we'll have a good place to start next week. Verse 7 says, just as it is right for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Boy, there's a sermon there as well. Inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Friend, listen, Paul was on a higher plane. Paul was actually imprisoned here. And so he's inclined to use legal terms, defense and confirmation are the negative and positive sides of the ministry. Defend the gospel against false teachers and confirm the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul is saying, God is my witness that he had a great long. Well, you know what I hope if you're a Christian and you're listening? That God has put a longing in your heart to get to know Him better. That God has put a desire in you, as the psalmist said, so the deer pants for the water and my soul longs for you. I pray maybe something that I said or something that's done today will spark that interest in you once again. And I also pray that you may know with what desire that God longs for you. We've been told as Christians so long that we have a God-shaped hole in our hearts. But friend, there's also a shape in God's heart that looks just like you. And He's desiring for you to come take your part in this puzzle. And who knows? Maybe it's your soul that He's been waiting on. Maybe it's your life that God's been tarrying for. Maybe when you say that prayer, it'll be the beginning of an avalanche of God's love. And so with that in mind, I want to close with you in a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you thanking you for the blessings of life. Thank you, dear God, for joy that surpasses all understanding. Thank you, dear God, for a peace that comes that the world cannot understand. Father, we thank you that you have given these things to us of your compassion. You have given it to us out of your love. You've given it to us out of your goodwill. Thank you, dear God, for the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for our sins. Thank you, dear God, for the blood. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rallets Baptist Church.